Eminenz, hohe Gäste, hohe Geistlichkeit, heute richte ich mich besonders an die Absolventen und Studenten, auf Englisch später, mit zwei Schlüsselworten: Dankbarkeit und Auftrag. Dankbarkeit an die vielen Einzelpersonen, die ich nennen werde, die es unseren Studenten ermöglichen, hier zu studieren. Und wir haben schon heute einigen genannt. Der Auftrag, die unsere heutigen Absolventen mitkriegen und wofür sie hier in den letzten Jahren gebildet worden sind, das ITI bereitet ihre Studenten vor auf ihren Auftrag in der Welt, in ihre Länder und in der Kirche. Wie der heilige Thomas Morus es sagt, und er ist einer meiner Lieblingsheiligen, er sagt: Bildung ist das sichtbar zu machen, was als Keim verborgen liegt. Das ist unser Auftrag am ITI. Und das Ergebnis sehen Sie heute, hier und jeden Tag über die ganze Welt, wo unsere Absolventen tätig sind. Erlauben Sie mir jetzt, auf Englisch umzuschalten, weil dies unsere erste Unterrichtssprache am ITI ist und weil unsere Absolventen, Mitglieder der Fakultät und der Verwaltung und unsere Studenten aus aller Welt kommen. Dear graduates, my words today are specially directed to you, but obviously also to all of us. Gratitude and mission. These are the two key words of today to reflect on and, as you go from here, to act upon. Let us start with gratitude. There are many persons, generous people here today, who make it possible for you to study here. And they deserve all our gratitude, because without them, you would have not received your diplomas today. I would like to single out these guardians, as I would like to call them, of the ITI, and ask you, dear graduates and students, to express your gratitude to them today. They truly deserve this. So please be generous in your outpouring of gratitude as I list specifically three groups of people. First, our Grand Chancellor, Cardinal Schönborn, who has carried the ITI since its foundation in 1995. With so much patience, love, and endurance. I hope, dear graduates and students, that you realize that without Cardinal Schönborn, the ITI would not exist today. We are very privileged to have him as our Grand Chancellor. Second, our board members and benefactors, many of them here present today, sitting on the second row. Their wise counsel and enormous generosity are the lifeblood of the ITI. Do you realize that 80% of the cost of your studies is being paid for by their hard work? So every day that you study at the ITI or have studied at the ITI, somebody else, a friend of yours, is working quietly to make this possible. Do you realize how privileged you are? We all are. The friendship and dedication of our board and benefactors is truly a blessing and a gift. Thank you. Thirdly, dear graduates and students, those you know the best. They are sitting here, they are sitting there, they are sitting amongst us. The very dedicated members of the faculty and administration of the ITI. Thanks to your diligent and ever so generous professors, as somebody called it, your academic fathers, you have been formed here as disciples of Christ. And thanks to a hardworking staff, you have been able to focus on your studies and enjoy the benefits of academic and community life. Please give them a warm thank you. I see in my text now that I had actually intended to ask you to stand for the thanking, but that didn't happen. So you can remain sitting now. I would now like to talk about the second part, mission. Your mission, dear graduates, and ours that remain here, students and staff at the ITI. We are now in the time between Ascension and Pentecost, and the words that Jesus spoke to his very nervous disciples who were about to be sent into the world before Jesus ascended into heaven, and like you today who are being sent into the world, our graduates, the words were these, the last lines of the Gospel of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. These words contain the whole of the Christian mission, and especially those of us who have the privilege to have been part of the ITI or continue to be part of the ITI. Do you realize what Christ is telling us? All nations, not just some, and all that he has commanded, not just some points of it that we happen to find convenient. I love the Gospel of Matthew because it is so crystal clear. But how do we do this? How do graduates go about as they return to their countries? And how do we, students and staff that remain here and who have as our primary goal and objective the academic life and the formation of theologians? For answering this, I want to bring in the words of three of our recent popes, St. John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis, for whom, all three of them, mission, evangelization, is the key to all we do, and especially also, I would say, as theologians. Let's start with St. John Paul II, whose canonization we celebrated recently. In 1991, I had the joy to be at my first World Youth Day with John Paul II in the Polish city Marian Shrine of Częstochowa. I still remember spending the damp and cold night in my sleeping bag between the masses of youth waiting for the Holy Father to arrive the next day. I think it even rained. And this is what he called us to that day, speaking about mission. He said, to be sons and daughters of God means, therefore, to receive the Holy Spirit, to let ourselves be guided by him, to be open to his action in our personal history and in the history of the world. We have to be open to his action through us in the history of the world. We, and especially today you, dear graduates, cannot keep to ourselves in our comfort zones and in small communities. No, as the great saint says it, we have to become part of the history of the world. Remember what Jesus said, all nations and all my commandments. And this is logical, because a confused and suffering world is yearning for the blessings engaged and joyful Christians can bring through the gospel that is lived. We Christians are called to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And this brings me to Pope Benedict XVI, who in his book with the same title, Salt of the Earth, reflects on a matter of the utmost importance for us here today, especially as academics, as clergy, and as you, dear graduates, going into the world. And Pope Benedict says the following. In the consciousness of the Church, a massive narrowing has taken place. We look only at ourselves. We are concerned only with ourselves. We lick our wounds. We want to construct a nice church for ourselves and hardly see any longer that the church doesn't exist for herself, but that we have a word that has something to say to the world and that ought to be heard, a word that could give something. We are too forgetful of our real tasks. Forgetful of our real tasks. Harsh words from Benedict, but so true. Only a little salt is needed to spice our food, but it needs to come out of the salt dispenser first to be effective. And so we need to come out of our houses, our parishes, and our universities in order to be the salt of the earth. And this brings me then to the third pope I want to quote today, Pope Francis. And you graduates will receive a present from me today, Evangelii Gaudium, which I hope is going to be a manual for you to go into the world. And Pope Francis, he has followed in no uncertain terms his two predecessors in a way that gives us, and especially you, dear graduates, and all of us at the ITI, a final call. In Evangelii Gaudium, Pope Francis says, goodness always tends to spread. Every authentic experience of truth and goodness seeks by its very nature to grow within us. And any person who has experienced a profound liberation becomes more sensitive to the needs of others. As it expands, goodness takes root and develops. Dear graduates, dear ITI students and staff, it is this goodness that each one of us is called to bring into the world and make it take root. But in order for that to happen, we have to heed these other words of Pope Francis, where he says, each Christian and every community must discern the path that the Lord points out. But all of us are asked to obey this call, to go forth from our own comfort zones in order to reach all the peripheries in need of the light of the gospel. So we return to the same gospel text of Matthew with which we have started, where we read and read earlier on in the gospel, You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. It is clear from our three most recent popes quoted here that a tone has been set, a road ahead has been mapped out for the church and for all Christians. I would like to summarize what the three popes said in the quotes I gave. First, becoming part of the history of the world, St. John Paul II. Second, giving the world the word, Benedict XVI. And make the ensuing goodness take root, Pope Francis. In a very special way, this is a refinement and a further actualization of the mission of the ITI given to it by its founder, St. John Paul II, and which you, dear graduates, are now called to go forth and bring it into the world. I wish you God's abundant blessings in this great endeavor. Be not afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. Thank you.